Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
You had a good Halloween?
I did. Yeah.
You have power.
I do. Thank God. Oh my gosh. I didn't have power for like 2.5 days or something like that. It was so crazy. I thought I was going to have to stay at Linda's house again. I was like, of course I would go from like moving out of my mom's house to now I don't have power. And I literally had to sleep in her bed because she had nowhere else for me to sleep.
Right.
So I was like, well, this took a turn. So
My friend Jan Ann still doesn't have power.
my brother didn't have power until yesterday.
Wow.
And I made a joke. I was like, you think they would have prioritized the rich people first, but apparently they didn't.
I don't know. It's real crazy. I ran over towards City Park and Esplanade doesn't have power still, so.
Yeah, a lot of places don't. It's so weird. It knocked the whole city out, I think, like everything. And I saw someone was like complaining on Twitter about how they were like, oh, I guess they prioritize giving downtown power before everybody else. And my friend like tweeted back and was like, that's where the major hospitals are. So like, yeah, they prioritize that. Like, someone's just trying to be a dick about it, and it's like, you're not doing it right. Like, it's not for the tourists. There are not that many tourists here, and it's for the major hospitals that are downtown
In the middle of a pandemic.
in the middle of a pandemic. Yeah, it's like, no, it's not about the tourists. Jesus. I'm like, oh my gosh. I know, it's so weird. Halloween was like different, but two of my closest friends got engaged yesterday. So we had a whole nice little thing outside because we wanted it to be COVID friendly. Even though they've kind of been in like my little bubble-ish. So I've seen them a couple of times over the past couple of months. But so I didn't feel as weird about it. And it was outside. It was such a beautiful day outside. So it was outside and it was like earlier in the morning. There was nobody around us. It was in the park in like a nice little isolated area. So it was so nice. And then my another friend who's also kind of in my pod of people, she had people in her backyard for like a Halloween thing where we could all sit away from each other, not like, get too close and stuff. And I finally saw her baby. She had her baby during COVID and
My
I
gosh.
never got to see her in person. So I finally saw her in person. I still couldn't like obviously touch her, get like too close or anything, but I finally got to see her. And so I like took a bunch of pictures and was up in her face and she smiled at me. So I was fine with it. But yeah, I know this time just like sucks. Like you can't do all your normal stuff. And people were very creative with how to give candy to kids, like with the different shoots and like all that. I was like, y'all, we can get creative, man. This is a city of creatives.
It's really been fun to see the innovation that a lot of people have,
Totally. I know.
really tapped into.
It's been crazy. So it sucks. I mean, it wasn't like, the big party that you normally have. And my uncle lives in an area that usually has like a big block party and it's super fun because we all go outside and there's like thousands of people that go around there and stuff. And so, it sucks not to be with family and not to be, having a big party or whatever, but I'm hoping we can stop, the whole Europe starting to close down again is kind of freaking me out.
I know.
Everybody all mad at LaToya, but look at Europe, they're closing down again. So
I know.
I hope people are smart about it. It's like you can say, I'm not saying, you have to completely be a hermit or something, but you have to be smart about it. And
That's
if
right.
people around you aren't smart about it, then you can't be around those people. I don't know.
I don't know.
Like y'all need to get it together because if I go another year without a jazz fest, I don't know what I'm gonna do with myself. I can't. I can't. We can't get shut down again and then have to go through the phases and then we basically have the whole year over again. I can't do it again. I can't.
No, I can't believe it's already November.
It's already November.
You have to start thinking about Thanksgiving and like
what? It's full Christmas time.
What is that going to be like?
Who cares about Thanksgiving? It's full Christmas. I'm going to pull a Melania about Thanksgiving.
No.
Fucking Thanksgiving. No one cares about Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I'm not ready for the holidays. I can't.
I am. I think the holidays, well, we know this. The Masticos are a Christmas people. Like, that is our time to shine. That was always my grandma's favorite time. Christmas is a big deal in our house. So I'm hoping that maybe we can have some resemblance of normal. A couple of my family members, we did get together. It's been a year since my grandma passed. So we did get together for that outside and, you know, not like all up in each other's business or anything, but so hopefully we can have something. I don't know. I love Christmas. This whole COVID thing is just really, it's really ruining everything.
You know, I think that a lot of Mardi Gras crews are going to have to start making decisions soon.
I know.
Which
I
is
feel
hard.
We have like, what is it? Early February this year?
I think so.
Yeah. It was later February this past year because my birthday was on Mardi Gras.
But in order to get like costumes and floats ready, you know.
Yeah, you have to start thinking about that a lot. I mean, the dames, your group, y'all start thinking about that, like your costumes and stuff, like right after Mardi Gras that year, and y'all start thinking about the next year. So a lot of people go all year with this stuff. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what people are going to, I'm glad I'm not in that position. I'm glad I don't have to make any decisions like that. I think either way, people are going to be upset about however Mardi Gras goes down this year. I think for no sure. matter what happens, some people are not going to like how it happens. Either if it happens full force, it can't happen full. I don't even know how you would patrol that. I don't know. I'm glad I'm not making those decisions. All I can say about that, because I would not want to be in the mayor's position or in the Jefferson Parish president's position. Poor Cynthia Lee Shang, man. She only just got in when COVID hit. That poor woman, she said a year from hell. Shit. I mean, come on, man. Trial by fire for sure. You know, I think she's earned her stripes, definitely.
It's a true test for sure.
I know. And the hurricanes and all of that. Because Jefferson Parish goes all the way down there, bitch. Yeah. I did not realize that. You don't realize it until hurricane season and they tell you like Jefferson Parish is like closing and behind the levee wall. And I'm like, who in Jefferson Parish is behind a levee wall? Then I'm like, oh wait, it's the people like down like Grand Isle and like all those kind of places. So she's had to deal with all of the, oh my God, I've never wanted to be a politician, but I'm definitely glad I'm not a politician right now.
Listen, just this past week alone was a hurricane that was almost a category 3.
Ugh.
A cold front, a full moon, Halloween, like.
I don't even know. It's a joke now. We're fine with, I mean, at this point, throw what you got at us. We've already been through enough.
I mean, it's crazy.
One of the bloggers on My New Orleans, Robert Payton, his blog was titled What Comes After Epsilon. And I'm like, why do we have to, I know the Greek alphabet because I'm a member of Greek life and that's part of our, like, I don't know the whole thing, but I know most of it. But I'm like, no one should need to know the Greek alphabet, especially because it means we have hurricanes. It's like, just stop. It's already, no. 2020 already sucks. Can we just like calm it down, Mother Nature, chill out.
Yeah. Well, we are recording this on a Sunday.
We are.
And around here in the fall, that means Saints games.
Heck yeah.
So we're going to be talking about the Superdome today.
Ooh, okay.
Yes. Okay, so we're going to be talking about the Superdome curse.
Oh, I didn't.
I'm sure you know about this.
Did I?
Did you?
Did I? I don't know. Okay. I barely know my own name right now, so.
True. Well, you're going to know.
Okay.
So,
I'm ready.
So let's begin. Okay. So the legend has it is that when it was built, it was constructed on top of the old Girard Street Cemetery.
Okay, I definitely didn't know this.
Okay. No. So when workers began digging the foundations in 1971, mm-hmm. they found caskets and bones just beneath the surface.
Oh, shit.
They hauled off the unclaimed bones and allegedly set off, you know what happens when you build on top of a cemetery. We've all seen poltergeists.
Yes. No, absolutely okay. not. You don't mess with that. Half the shit on like all the haunted places or my house is haunted or whatever. It's like, oh, you built over an Indian burial ground. And it's like, well, who decided that? Who made that decision?
That, the scene of the mom and poltergeist in the swimming pool still haunts me.
I blocked out the one and only time I saw poltergeist. It is blocked from my memory. I do not remember it. I watched it once. I know for a fact I watched it. Couldn't tell you what happened. Could tell you nothing. Got nothing. I wiped it from my memory.
Yes. My friend Mimi had HBO as a kid. She was the only person I knew who had it. And so I would go over. Mm-hmm. And I'd go over. She also had an Atari.
Mimi, just crushing it.
So I would go over there and her parents would go to bed and we'd get back up. We would go to bed and get back up after they went to bed and watch all the movies late night on HBO. That was one.
Until the like rated X stuff comes on that HBO. I used to have HBO when it was like Channel 5 or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you fall asleep to a movie and then you wake up and it is no longer the nice movie you were watching.
No, that's not a good.
No, it's like, oh God.
Surprise. Okay, so the Girard Street Cemetery, we'll talk about that briefly first, just so we can set the stage. So it was also known as the Protestant Cemetery because, as you know, the above-ground cemeteries were oftentimes dedicated to, this is a Catholic cemetery, this is a Protestant, you know, whatever.
Right. Yeah, you were buried according to your religious affiliation.
Right, because the church would then take care of the cemetery that you were buried in. They would maintain the grounds and the tombs. So it was established in 1822.
Okay.
It's pretty old.
Yeah.
There were around 2,300 vaults and around 1,000 tombs. So this is pretty big.
That's a lot of bodies.
Right. Of course, it was above ground, as they all are here.
Right.
And it was an essential area of the city, what we now know as the CBD, Central Business District.
Right.
It was very popular as a public burying ground if you were Protestant because of its central location.
Right, right.
So just outside the French Quarter, basically, at the time. It became very popular to bring bodies there during epidemics when the city load of bodies kind of got overwhelming. So they would bring them there. And there were multiple cases of people getting in fights because they were overstacking the tombs in the wall vaults. And as we talked about before, you know, you're supposed to leave it in there for a full year
before
you put somebody else in there. They weren't doing that. They were just like shoving them in.
Oh, no, no.
Yeah.
You gotta wait until they're like kind of dusty and crusty and just kind of smush them on back there.
Exactly.
It sounds really horrible, but it happens to all of our families here, so.
Yeah, so, you know, they would dump bodies at the gateway of the cemetery, just leave them there, or shove them into the wall vaults. And
it's not sanitary.
No. Can you imagine the stench and the...
No. Absolutely not.
So it kind of got a reputation quickly of not being the best place to go.
Yeah. The Protestants weren't keeping that up very well.
Right. I think they were just overwhelmed. It says that it became known as the Yellow Fever Mound.
Oof. Well, there was a bunch of yellow fever epidemics like every like 20 years or something back then. It would be like really bad.
Because of mosquitoes.
Fucking mosquitoes, man.
I know. What good are they?
Little shits.
Really?
All they do is carry disease and then they bite you.
Yeah.
They bite me all the time. My grandma used to tell me it's because I was so sweet. And I was like, I'm calling bullshit on that one.
They like you.
They do. I have a bunch on my, from the park yesterday. I have a bunch all over my legs right now.
No.
Come on, man. I thought this was over with.
Me too. Okay. So in 1880, a commissioner of Louisiana who was in charge of inspecting cemeteries came down to New Orleans and inspected all of the cemeteries in the city. Everybody passed except for this one cemetery. And they were like, no, like, you got to clean this up.
This is disgusting.
Right.
Do something about it.
It says, since the cemetery vaults had been built hastily with only a single layer of bricks, unpleasant odors of decay were constantly wafting out.
I feel like that was the nicest way they could have put that. Like, it smells like shit, homie. Clean it up.
Is right.
What I want to put in all my report.
The commissioner noted that, quote, in the event of rain, the Girard Street Cemetery is always flooded to such an extent that it will affect the sanitary precautions necessary to prevent the contracting or spreading of any diseases.
Well, you know, dead bodies, too, they still do bodily functions and stuff. And because it's not the person control, it's like involuntary, that's involuntary kind of stuff. Ugh. Oh, that was probably.
So you have like a wet, soggy cemetery.
Wet, soggy, probably with some like poop up in there. They definitely had animals.
Too many bodies.
Pooped up in there.
Yeah.
And that's how every disease is passed. Poop is the worst.
So the commissioner suggested that it be closed down.
Did they close down a cemetery, though?
Well, no more bodies. Like, don't put anybody else
in there. Oh, okay. I was like, how do you, like, you're like, no, this isn't a cemetery anymore.
But did they do that? No.
No.
They just ignored it. They kept putting bodies in there. Mm-hmm. It kept going. By the early 1940s, so this is way, like, we've now skipped way ahead. It kept going to be a cemetery. But by the 1940s, there were more problems. So there were vandals that would go in there. They would break into tombs. Oh. And so a large fire was found burning atop one tomb. Like, what was going on in the 40s? Like, what?
Yeah, like, what is everyone doing?
What?
Not even the Depression anymore. I mean, it's wartime, but like.
Right.
I thought everyone was like solid during wartime. I thought like people were just chill.
Like just working. And
yeah, like do what you need to do. We're at war. There's a Nazi over there.
Right. So it wasn't closed down until 1948 when the mayor ordered it be dismantled.
Jesus, I think that was the year my dad was born. Good Lord.
Isn't that weird?
That's like, I always, whenever like stuff happens and I'm like, either my grandma was alive or like my dad was alive or my uncle, like my oldest uncle, like, it's so weird to me. Like, I'm always like, you were alive then. Like, that happened. And you were a person when that happened.
Right.
And it blows my mind sometimes. Like, blows my mind.
Yeah. So what dismantled means is that the mayor ordered them to literally start taking it apart. Like, take the bricks apart. And he said, look, if you have people in there, if your family members are in there, you must go retrieve their remains.
What do you do with that? Oh, no. Gross.
Yeah.
So nasty.
I don't know. So in October 1958, 10 years later, the remaining 96,000 square feet were sold to the government. So it goes back into the hands of the state.
Okay.
The cemetery was deconsecrated on January 4th, 1957.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, supposedly they had all the remains removed.
Supposedly.
But, well, you know. Okay.
Yeah. Air quotes on that one.
Right. So then, you know, fast forward, that area is turned over to the state. It eventually becomes the general area where the Superdome was constructed in the 1970s.
Oh, God.
So, fast forward to the Saints.
Right.
The Saints did not win a single playoff game in their first 33 years playing in the Superdome.
They were the Aints.
Right. But apparently they used to play at Tulane Stadium and the record was just as bad. So there are some that are like, maybe it wasn't the dome. Maybe it was the team.
We're blaming it on the dead people that are under the dome. But right. We're going to ignore that time, those couple of times we lost when we played at Tulane. Didn't happen.
Right. Right. So you, as if you're a fan of the Saints, you remember the days of the paper bag on the head because you had to be anonymous. And I remember what happened, this event that I'm about to talk about right now. Okay. So we knew about the curse.
Right.
We joked about it. So the Saints had enough. And in the year 2000, they decided to take care of that curse. So they called in a voodoo priestess Ava K. Jones.
Okay.
To come do a ceremony in the dome.
Bitch, help us.
Right. And like, whatever it takes. Like, what can we do?
Do what you gotta do.
So this was before a playoff game against the Rams mm-hmm. in the year 2000. Mm-hmm. So the Saints held an actual voodoo ritual in the middle of the field to cleanse the Superdome of negative spirits.
What? I had no idea this happened.
I remember this.
No idea.
So the priestess wore a large boa constrictor around her neck, and she carried a voodoo doll, a gri-gri bag, a bottle of gin, and there were drummers and dancers from a local dance, a voodoo dance ensemble. There were people in the dome. Like, there were a crowd of people there.
Oh, my. Like, did they open it up to people, or did this happen, like, before a game?
I think it was before a game.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine if you went to that game?
It's, like, hysterical, but also, like, real intense.
And it was a playoff game, so, like, you were probably outside tailgating, and you may be slightly inebriated. You walk in, and this is happening.
Yeah, I don't know what I would have done. That's crazy. That's only in New Orleans.
I was about to say, that's the way we do things here.
Only here.
Right. So according to an ESPN deep dive, the boa constrictor was used to pay tribute to Marie Laveau, as well as to symbolize Dambala, the serpent snake of wisdom and balance.
Okay.
The gri-gri bag was, obviously, we've talked about gri-gri bags, so it was charms and all the things needed to balance the energy. The priestess also carried conqueror root and frankincense and myrrh to attract good fortune. Okay. Oh, yeah, and it says there were 67,000 fans in the dome at the time, joining in with hollers of Ashe, the voodoo equivalent to Amen.
Could you imagine being a Rams fan?
No!
Being in the dome when this, I would be terrified. Like, because, I mean, if you're from here, you know what's happening. Like, you knew, well, not maybe like, you don't know exactly what's happening, but you like aren't scared of it kind of thing. Like, you know what's going on. But, like, could you imagine the Rams team, too? Like, I would have been terrified, not knowing what was happening. I would have been terrified and been like, I have got to peace out. I got to go. Like, I got to get out of here.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that's so funny.
So they did the ceremony and then left the dome and continued to perform rituals all around town during the remainder of the game, which we won.
So then if I was the Rams team, I would have been like, I'm calling bullshit. Like, what did you do? Like, I'm calling bullshit. We were supposed to win this game. Y'all suck. What happened?
That was the first playoff game we ever won.
Well, I guess voodoo priestess Ava, you know, made the bad juju go away.
Right.
What we needed.
Next in the history of the dome was obviously in 2005 during Hurricane Katrina, when it became an impromptu shelter for a lot of people. We all remember the pictures of the roof kind of being torn away and there's a hole in it.
Right in the middle of it, essentially.
Yeah. So a lot of people online conjectured that the although it was a tragedy, that the opening of the light and the rain actually may have helped lift the curse.
Oh. Well, there you go. Because that, yeah, I mean, then we start again real good.
Right.
We got Sean Payton and we got Drew Brees that year. So.
Right. So whatever caused the curse to go away, it was definitively lifted in 2009 when the Saints won the Super Bowl in Miami.
Heck yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, technically they didn't win it in the Superdome, so maybe it's not, but.
Maybe. So there are some inaccuracies to the legend of this curse. So the only part of the Superdome that actually sits on the old cemetery are two of the parking garages.
Oh, okay. The ones like behind it.
Right. You know where the old New Orleans shopping mall was behind
it? Yeah.
The mall sits on the cemetery and the two garages.
Oh, okay.
So the field itself wasn't really.
Okay.
But some think it's still there because they cite the infamous halftime show in which Miss Beyonce.
So fun fact. I was in college when that happened, and I worked for the Student Involvement and Leadership Office, and we got an email saying that they were looking for college kids to fill the halftime, like the fields for halftime. So me and like all my friends, I think our basketball team was out there, or like the women's basketball team, the volleyball team, like a bunch of like different student organizations. Like we were all, so we missed that whole game because they bused us from the West Bank where we met to the Superdome just enough time for us to get in there. They started putting all the stuff out. We had to run out. She did her like thing or whatever. And then we ran out back and got back on the bus and went back to the West Bank. So we didn't see any of the game at all. And then it wasn't until after that they told us the lights went out and we were like, what?
Oh, wow.
Lights were fine when we were there. Like everything was on and everything was fine when we were there. So it was such,
that's,
oh my
crazy.
God, it was one of the best days of my life.
I bet.
One of the best days. She almost touched my hand and my friend Berwin, I'm so mad at him, but he had his moment and he like kind of pushed my hand out of the way. And I was like, I can't kill you right now, but he is a bigger Beyonce fan than I was like that kind of thing. So I was like, you're forgiven.
Yeah.
But yeah, we had to sign like a waiver that we weren't going to say anything because when we practiced in the dome for the first time, they had, cause she had Kelly and Michelle from Destiny's Child like pop up at the floor and we didn't know until they were practicing it. The song came on and then the two of them popped up out of the floor and we all lost our shit.
Yeah.
And then we all had to sign, non-disclosure agreement so we wouldn't tell it, like we couldn't tell anyone anything, but luckily we were all there together so we could all talk about it with
that's
each other.
Crazy.
So yeah, it was pretty intense. It was, yeah, but we had no idea that the lights went out because we were on a bus on the way back to the West Bank. Yeah. So we had zero idea that happened.
Wow.
Sorry for that segue. Had to get in my Beyonce.
No, that's good. I think the takeaway from this story is we have to have Miss Ava.
Yeah.
Just do a thing every halftime.
Truly. I think if she came before every show, there can't be anything in the rules against that because it's not like the NFL people know about voodoo rituals.
No.
And I think that she should just be the pre-show performance. Like she can go out there while they're stretching and like doing all that kind of shit before they put their uniforms on. They can go out there and she can just do her little thing. And be fine, and we'll call it a day. And if we
absolutely.
Just keep winning, I mean, it wasn't magic. It's just us, and that's what we're, you know, it's fine. It's fine.
It's fine.
I think that that's a great idea.
Yeah.
We should tell the Saints. We should call them. We should dial. Should we send them a Zoom link? Let's see if they join us.
We always have great ideas on this show.
We have the best ideas, and, like, nobody ever asks our opinion.
I know.
So it's kind of rude, but we have some really good ideas. Like, I'm telling you, if the Bonnie and Clyde people don't call us
to, I know,
zhuzh up that festival, they're missing out. And they don't deserve a good festival because they didn't call us to make
it. I know, right?
We had so many ideas.
I know.
All the ideas. It's like an idea machine. I mean,
people should just...
The people.
Right. We're doing it for you guys, you know?
Just... Doing God's work.
I think so.
I think so. I mean, I wouldn't dedicate myself to this every week if I didn't think so.
That's right.
Yeah, we've got the best ideas, man.
Yeah. So there you go. That is the curse of the Superdome? Question mark.
Maybe. Possibly. Who knows?
No.
We don't know. Maybe. Yeah. That I did not know that. I knew that there was like the curse of the Superdome, but I don't think I ever paid attention to like what the backstory of that was. Like I think I just probably assumed it was because we were so bad. Mm-hmm. And that was like the curse, like, you know, that's just what I assumed. So I didn't like ask too much into it. But spirits do not fuck around. Like you can mess with their stuff.
Cemetery. Yes.
Mm-hmm. You can't mess with it.
No.
Cannot mess with it. That's what happens when you start doing like demolition in an old time house. That's mm-hmm. it. They don't like it. You don't
like it.
Their like resting place or something.
No.
But at least, I don't know. I wonder, sometimes my brother parks in those garages for the games. I wonder like, if people have any stories about, like, I wonder if the garages are haunted.
But they can be kind of creepy, for sure.
Yeah, I think that's more just because they're dark and, like,
garages.
Yeah, like a, just, it's not, there's nothing to it. It's just all cement.
Well, that mall certainly hasn't done very well, so there you go. I don't know.
Is that even still a mall? I thought that was the Hyatt now.
It's like, it was the Hyatt, and then after Katrina, it was so damaged. I don't know what happened after that.
I have no idea.
I don't know.
Who knows? But if anyone knows that it's haunted,
yeah.
I would love to know some stories. Maybe, I mean, preferably like if you were sober and saw it, you know, maybe not like drunk after a Saints game. You can see a lot of things drunk after a Saints game.
Right.
So maybe like before a Saints game, before tailgating, if you saw something, let us know.
Would love to know.
I know. I would love to know that too. Maybe we can go up in there at night or something and see what spooky stuff happens. I wonder if there's like, ooh, you know how sometimes ghosts have like a smell that come with them? I wonder if you just smell shit. Smell something foul.
Yikes.
And I bet people do, and they probably just think it's some drunk person going to the bathroom up in there.
Yep.
Which it very much could be.
It could be both.
It wasn't a drunk person going to the bathroom.
Totally could be either one.
It could also be a ghost from the 1800s.
100%.
That whose dead body was just tossed in there, and they may or may not shit themselves.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
We don't know.
I don't know.
I am here for it. If anyone wants to tell us, maybe there's a certain area that gets it. Maybe your parking spot is like real haunted. I don't know.
The haunted parking spot.
That sounds like a really sad, like when someone tries to tell a campfire story and it like just isn't scary. The haunted parking spot. Like your dad's trying to scare you and it just doesn't
work. You drive on and cruise in, you park your car and be like, hey, you guys, I heard this parking spot is haunted.
That's really funny. That would be funny. Like a funny, like sketch thing, like an SNL kind of thing. That would be a
song. Yeah.
again with the ideas, man, doing God's work. Here we are. Well, let us know. I loved that. I did not know that at all. So I love knowing that. And now I want to know if people have experienced creepy things up in, they're redoing the Superdome. I wonder if that's going to unearth anything.
It might.
we're going to have to get Voodoo Priestess Ava up in there again.
I mean, yeah.
If they start messing with everybody, they're...
She's going to have to be on speed dial, just like calling her up.
Yeah, Mickey Loomis, Gail Benson, they're going to have to get her on speed dial, get her back up in there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I just thought about that. It could be scary. What if we start losing again after... They got to do something with that. Got to do something with that. Mm-hmm. Well, if anyone has any stories about the area being haunted or seeing creepy things, again, preferably when you were sober and not like a drunken, I think I saw this and it was really just like a person. but our email is bigeasyspirits@gmail.com. You can contact us through our website, bigeasyspiritspodcast.com, or on social media at Big Easy Spirits. And hopefully we don't ever have a hurricane again, because I'm pretty done with that this year. Oh. But if we ever have a storm and your power goes out, download us and have some fun with old Big Easy Spirits episodes.
Yep.
I had someone tell me this weekend that they heard the Madame LaLaurie episode, which was our first episode ever.
Yes.
And they had to stop because they were home alone and it scared them.
Oh, like,
no one's ever told me I was scary. So
yes.
There you go.
I love it.
But yeah, let us know. Call us, contact. Well, don't call us. I'm not giving you my phone number, but I'm not. Sorry.
No.
You
don't
want message
to call.
Us, email.
Yeah.
Don't try to find my phone number. That would be creepy. Yeah. And until next time, cheers.
Cheers.